everyone had a good Yantiv. I think the official greeting this time of the year is a gesunte Zimmer. I think that's what they say in the Chassidish Welt. So everyone should have a good summer. And on that theme of having a good summer, let's talk about Pirkei Avos. What's the connection? Because there's a minhag, it's a very old minhag, to learn Pirkei Avos this time of the year, in particular in the weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. As we enter into the summer months, there's a minhag, a very ancient minhag Yisrael, that's brought already by the Talmud of Rashi, going back to the 1100s, by the Machzor Vitri, to learn Pirkei Avos. And the question is why? How did this minhag develop? Why is this part of the year dedicated to the study of Pirkei Avos? So I want to begin with the Hakdama of the Medrash Shmuel. Medrash Shmuel is a very classic work on Pirkei Avos. And in his Hakdama, he quotes this minhag. He says, "Shenagu likro mesecht azu bein Pesach la'atzeres." There is a minhag to study Pirkei Avos in these weeks, each Shabbos, to learn one parak of Avos, the five parakim of Avos plus the sixth parak that was added on to Pirkei Avos. It's not really part of Avos, but parak Kinyan Torah, which teaches us the prerequisites for acquiring Torah, was added on. But it's certainly the minhag to study it between Pesach and Shavuos, and then to continue throughout the summer, really all the way up until the Om Naram. The question is why. So the Medrash Shmuel, in his classic commentary on Pirkei Avos, gives four reasons why this minhag is so. What's the connection between Pirkei Avos and this time of the year? Number one, he says, first of all, after Pesach, like I mentioned, you know, we're entering into the summer months. And we wish people that they should have a good summer, that a person should have a good summer. And the summer comes with certain challenges. The Medrash Shmuel says that hot weather is ma'orer, a certain taiva in a person. So when the temperature is hot outside, it awakens a certain desire for gufnius, for gashmius, for physicality. It's a time where people let loose a little bit, where people are a little more casual about the things that they do, maybe allowing themselves to do things that they don't usually allow themselves to do. And the Yetzer is a little bit on the loose. And therefore, says the Medrash Shmuel, first and foremost, one of the reasons that we learn Pirkei Avos this time of the year is as we're transitioning to the carefree spirit of summer, we have to remind ourselves what it means to be a Jew, and the way that a Jew vacations, and the way that a Jew relaxes, and to remind ourselves that the summer comes with some very significant challenges. There was a Rav who once had, he used to have two, you know, a Rav gives two major drushas every year, Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah. So there was a particular Rav who had only two drushas. He had, you know, the rest of the year, people weren't paying so much attention. But, you know, Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos HaGadol, people are really scrutinizing the rabbi, they want to hear something good. So this Rav had two drushas. He had a Shabbos HaGadol drusha and he had a Shabbos Shuvah drusha. And it just so happened one year that he mixed up his drushas. And Shabbos HaGadol, you know, he went to his box where he stores his drushas. He reached in, he pulled out the Shabbos Shuvah drusha, went to shul. He figures from one year to the next, the Balabatim don't remember, so he repeats it every year, but, you know, this was like his great drasha, and he gets up and he's standing there right before Pesach and he's looking at a Shabbos Shuvah drasha. And he's wondering, what am I going to do now? So he gives the drasha, and afterwards he's feeling badly about himself. He's feeling a little bit embarrassed. And he had a shaychus with the Rishner. Came to a Yisrael of Rishon. Tzchusi again Aleinu. And the Rishner told him, it's fine, don't have to worry about anything. He says, yeah, but Rebbe, I gave a Shabbos Shuvah drasha on Shabbos HaGadol. So he says, who says that that's such a terrible thing? Shabbos HaGadol is also a time, as we head towards Pesach, it's a time to think about tshuva. The Yom Naram is not as far away as we like to imagine that it is. Part of cleaning up on Pesach, getting rid of the chametz, means getting rid of the Yetzer Haras in our life. Cleaning ourselves in a way of holiness, purifying our lives. The Chassam Sofer writes in the second volume of his drushas, he says that really, those two drushas that I mentioned, the Shabbos HaGadol drusha and the Shabbos Shuvah drusha, are really all about the summer and the challenges of the summer that the Medrash Shmuel is describing. He says that we give the Shabbos HaGadol drusha before the summer, and we're really supposed to warn people of the dangers of summer. And then after the summer, we give the Shabbos Shuvah drusha, saying, listen, we know you did some things over the summer that are probably regrettable, so we encourage people to do tshuva. The Chassam Sofer writes in his drushas that the whole you know, focus of these two major drushas is to get a person ready for summer. But again, it's not enough to live from one drusha to the next, from one Shabbos HaGadol to a Shabbos Shuvah. We need something to guide us along the way. And the thing that guides us along the way is Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos gives us guidance from the greatest Jews who ever lived how a Jew is supposed to live his or her life. And that's why during the days between Pesach and Shavuos, says the Medrash Shmuel, reason number one, why we study Pirkei Avos. A second reason, probably the most obvious reason. If I were to ask you, why do we learn Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos, you would tell me because we're preparing for Kabbalah Satorah. We're preparing for Matan Torah. On Shavuos, we want to be worthy of receiving the Torah. Well, if you want to be worthy of receiving the Torah, we all know the famous refrain from Chazal, Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah. A person who doesn't have midos, a person who is not of refined character, a person who is not going to take Pirkei Avos seriously and work on what it means, again, to have the midos of a Jew, is not going to be worthy of being mekabel the Torah. I shared in Yeshiva today, in YU today, I shared an amazing Orach Chaim HaKadosh. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh is very curious how Karbanos works. Doesn't really understand how Karbanos makes sense. So all of a sudden, this person goes and he performs an Avera. Next thing you know, he's walking out to his backyard and he goes over to little Shepsel and he says, Shepsel, come, we're going to the Beis HaMikdash. Shepsel says, where are we going? Why am I going to the Beis HaMikdash? What did I do? He says, well, you know, I did an Avera, so you need to now be slaughtered. So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, how is that fair? So first he explains, like many Rishonim explain, that really emotionally, the person who's bringing the carbon has to feel that he should be on the Mizbeach in place of the carbon. Pasuk says in this week's parsha that Aaron drew close to the Mizbeach. The Rechaim says he drew himself emotionally, intellectually. He felt that when he was bringing the carbon, that he was bringing that carbon chatas that Aaron brings at the beginning of the parsha, it was as if Aaron was offering himself. But the Rechaim says it still doesn't add up, because at the end of the day, the sheep is getting slaughtered and the person walks away. How is this midah keneged midah? A person does an avera and the animal becomes the source of kapara. Doesn't God run the world with justice? How is that fair? And the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says an amazing, amazing yesod, a beautiful, beautiful, essential teaching about the essence of how a karban works. And really about the essence of how an avera works. He says that when a person does an avera, a person is not really a person. For the moment that you did the avera, you became an animal. A person doesn't do an avera. An adam, a person with a neshama, a person who's thinking the way a Jew is supposed to be thinking, never does an avera. But what happens? He quotes the Gemara in Sota, that sometimes a person is overcome by a temporary fit of insanity. Nichlas bo ruach shtus, foolishness overcomes a person. He can't or she can't think rationally. You're not thinking like a human being who's been endowed with intellect to make good choices. And a person gives into an animalistic urge, whatever that temptation may be, and commits that avera. So really, at the time that you sinned, it wasn't you, the person, who did the avera. An animal, in fact, did the avera. Then the Orach Chaim HaKadosh goes a step further. He says, so now you did tshuva. You felt bad. You went back to being a person. He said, I'm better than this. I should hold myself to a higher standard. I'm not going to allow myself to give in to such lowly things. So you revert to being a person. So the Orach Chaim says, so does it make sense now that you, the person, should die for the sin of an animal? Because when you did the avera, you were an animal. So he says, let an animal come and be brought in place of an animal. Yes, it's true. A person, of course, has to take some achrayas, and that's why emotionally a person has to be invested in the karban. To close your eyes as you're offering that karban and say, wow, that should really be my flesh on the mizbeach. But it's an amazing insight to explain to us that there's a way that an adam acts, there's a way that a person acts. And only a person who acts like a person is worthy of Torah. The Gemara darshans, on the pasuk adam ki yamas va'oel, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia and in Maseches Yevamos that atem kri an adam, a Jew, more so than the rest of the world. Even more so than any other human being who also is expected to carry himself or herself in a dignified fashion. This Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, you have to be a person to just be part of humanity. But all the more so, Atem Kriyan Adam. The Gemara is not saying that, God forbid, the people of the world are not even people. But the responsibility that a Jew has towards humanity to act in a humane way, Atem Kriyan Adam. You are called Adam. You're expected to be an Adam. And only one who acts like an adam is worthy of Kabbalah Satorah. And that's why we learn Pirkei Avos this time of the year. To make ourselves into people before we come to Kabbalah Satorah. Think about the carbon that begins the process and think about the carbon that ends the process. What do I mean by the carbon that begins the process? The carbon ha'omer. What is the carbon ha'omer that we began the count of Sfiras Omer with? The carbon that we brought once upon a time on the 16th of Nisan. The carbon ha'omer is brought from barley, which is animal food. 7 weeks later, after counting 7 complete weeks, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, we come to Shavuos, and we bring another carbon, the Shtei Alechem, and what's that brought from? Wheat, which is people food. Which means that the entire process of Sfiras HaOmer is transforming ourselves from animals to people, is becoming human beings. And only a human being is worthy of Torah. We say in the morning in the Birchas HaShachar, La'olam yehei Adam, a person should always be Yirei Shamayim B'Seisru V'Galui. You should always be God-fearing, both in private and in public. Your public life should mirror your private life and vice versa. But many darshanim have said, before you even get to Yirei Shamayim, before you even get to fear of God, what are the first three words? La'olam yehei Adam. Be a person. You have to be a human being. Because if you're not a human being, there's nothing to talk about when it comes to Kabbalah Satorah. They asked the Brisker Rav one time, they said, why don't you find more midos in the Torah? You know, if you want to learn the midos, you open up your Kabbalah. Why does the Torah not have the midos that a Jew is supposed to live his or her life by? Again, you can find, I mean, of the 613, how many of them are really focused on midos, let's say Ben Adam L'Chavero? So you could say, well, there are broader principles, Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. The Rambam in Hilchos Avel sees that as an umbrella for Bikur Cholim and Kfuras HaMeis and Achlas HaSkala, right? But those are acts of Chesed, Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. But where does the Torah say, don't get angry? Well, you could point to things, but is it part of the 613? So where are the midos of the Torah? Why is it not more clearly enunciated by the Torah, right, to greet people with a smiling face? Why do I need to turn to Shammai and Pirkei Avos to find that out? So they once asked this question to the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav said a very simple and very sharp answer. He said, you know why the Torah doesn't introduce us to midos? Because a person who doesn't have midos can't even begin to come to Torah. You have to have midos, you have to be a ben. The Torah was given, this was his lashon, the Torah, the Brisker Rav said, was given to people. And if you don't have midos, you're not a person. And if you're not a person, you're not worthy of Kabbalah Satorah. So therefore, says the Medrash Shmuel, reason number two, again in his beautiful introduction to Pirkei Avos, why do we learn Pirkei Avos this time of the year? Because if we want to come to Shavuos, and we want to be Mekabel the Torah, we need to become people. And what better way to become the types of people Hashem wants us to be than through the learning of Pirkei Avos? I'll just share with you an interesting comment from Rabbeinu Yonah in the third paragraph. Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the classic Rishonim on Pirkei Avos, he wrote at length on Pirkei Avos. Rabbeinu Yonah comments on the Mishnah in the third parak. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer, Im ein Torah, ein derech eretz. Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. So it sounds like Catch-22. How does it work? If I don't have Torah, then I can't have derech eretz. But if I don't have derech eretz, then I can't have Torah. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, Klomar, Mi she'einu yodea Torah, einu shalim b'midos shal derech eretz. Without learning the Torah, without studying the lives of Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka v'chulu, I don't know how to act. So I'm ein Torah, ein derech eretz. If I don't look to the Torah to guide me, I don't really know what it means to live a life of midos, of refined character, of derech eretz. But the flip side is also true. Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. Well, what does that mean? How do I get derech eretz if not from the Torah? If you don't have derech eretz, you can't have Torah. Rotzal omar, she'tzarech tchila l'sakein atzmo b'midos. Because before I open up the Torah tells me an even more refined level of living my life. The examples he gives here, he says, for example, returning the collateral that you took from a person, you know, that you're holding as collateral for a loan. Or to make sure that your scales are perfectly balanced, etc., etc. He says, but before you get to all of those, before you get to the specifics of how the Torah, maybe Parshas Mishpatim, maybe Parshas Kedoshim, maybe the lives of the Avos, and again the nuance of the Midos of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah, but before you even get to that, there's a certain basic in Ein Derech Eretz Ein Torah, that if I don't have a basic level of humanity, then there can't be Torah. And then the Torah can come upon such a person. Only a person who again has a certain basic level of midos can be worthy of Kabbalah Satorah. This might also explain why Pirkei Avos is actually placed, according to some, again the exact order of the Masechtos is subject to debate amongst the Rishonim, but Pirkei Avos is possibly placed right alongside Maseches Avodah Zarah. Why is Pirkei Avos aligned with Avodah Zarah? Why is Pirkei Avos a step away, so to speak, from Maseches Avodah Zarah? So I saw in the Hakdama to the Shoshanim L'David on Pirkei Avos, The Shoshana L'David writes in his Akdama, based on a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kofei. The Gemara says, a person who breaks a vessel in a fit of rage, a person gets angry and takes something and smashes it in their anger, it's as if that person has worshipped a Avodah Zarah. That's what it says in Maseches Shabbos Daf Kofei. The Gemara goes on and it says that the way of the Yetzer Hara is exactly that. That first the Yetzer Hara tells you to do a little this, and then the Yetzer Hara tells you to do a little that, and then the Yetzer Hara tells you to do a little this, and then the Yetzer Hara tells you to do a little that. And eventually, from a lack of midos, from a little bit of anger, when you smash the kli because you were angry, which you could say, okay, what's the big deal? I got angry one time and I threw something. But that little bit of anger, that lack of refinement of character, that little mida could lead mamish to real avodah zarah. Because the Yetzer Hara chips away at a person who's not refined, who's not working on himself. And therefore, says the Shoshanim LeDavid, Pirkei Avos is a step away from Maseches Avodah Zarah. A person who doesn't have midos, it's not so far-fetched. A person who doesn't work on his anger, a person who doesn't work on their taivos, a person who can't get their tongue under control to stop speaking Lashon Hara, it's not so far-fetched that their life is going to be Avodah Zarah. And if it doesn't mean bowing down to an idol, it means a life that's Avodah Zarah, that's very foreign to the way that a Jew is supposed to live one's life. The Rambam, just to be mashlim the inyan to complete the point, the Rambam actually says that Pirkei Avos is next to Maseches Sanhedrin. And again, I don't want to get into the exact order of the Masechtos now because it's subject to a lot of debate, but Pirkei Avos might follow Maseches Sanhedrin. If Pirkei Avos follows Maseches Sanhedrin, what's the lesson in that? So the Tosfos Yom Tov in his Hakdama quotes from the Rambam, in his Hakdama to the Mishnah, and the Rambam says, and again I think it's very much related to this point, as to why we learn Pirkei Avos this time of the year, the Rambam gives two explanations. He says, first of all, after you learn Maseches Sanhedrin, and you learn that there's a concept of a Sanhedrin, that you learn that there are some really, really great Jews who make up the greatest judges of the Jewish people, afterwards, when you hear from those same rabbis, you should greet people with a smiling face, you take it different. You absorb it in a different way. Once you've learned the chashivas of the Gedolei Yisrael, who you've met through Maseches Sanhedrin, who you've met through the Shoftim, through those who are paskening halachos, which is what Maseches Sanhedrin is dealing with, then we have a much deeper appreciation of their words when we open up Pirkei Avos and we take their advice, so to speak, in Pirkei Avos. But then he says the second point. The Rambam says, you know why Sanhedrin is right next to Pirkei Avos? Because what happens if that same person who saw outstanding in Torah, who serves on the Sanhedrin, who knows the halachos of the Shulchan Aruch forwards and backwards, who can quote chapter and verse, but doesn't have midos? You know how much worse that is? You know what a disgrace that is to Torah? Because again, if there's no midos, then the Torah can't really be Torah. And the Torah that a person learns with bad midos, it's not really Torah. And therefore we say to the Sanhedrin, we say to the greatest Jews, you better learn Pirkei Avos, you better watch yourself. Don't think it's enough to just have Torah knowledge, to have knowledge of the facts of the Torah. A person is expected to carry oneself in a way that's becoming and befitting of a person of Torah. And again, all of this points to the explanation of the Medrash Shmuel, why we learn Pirkei Avos this time of year. He gives a third explanation. I told you there are four explanations that he gives. The third explanation of the Medrash Shmuel, why do we learn Pirkei Avos this time of the year? Well, I don't know about you, but when I learn Pirkei Avos, I sometimes feel bad. I feel like I need to do tshuva. I feel like there's a lot of things I should be working on. And this time of the year, that's not a bad feeling. You know why? Because we're holding by the days of Sfira. And the days of Sfira are the days that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. And there's a spirit of din in the world. The fact that so many great Jews were punished in such a severe way this time of the year means that these are frightening days. These are days of din. These are days of mamatim besimcha, although not to the same degree as Mishnichlas Av mamatim besimcha, but these are days where we lessen our joy. We don't have weddings. We don't listen to music. We don't get haircuts. Right? We show a certain restraint in the way that we go about our business. And all of that, midas hadin, that's sholei, that's found in the world at this time of the year, brings us to tshuva. And what better place to learn how to do tshuva than Pirkei Avos? When you open up Pirkei Avos and you say, wow, and I'll keep using this example because it's really a fascinating example. Shammai is the one who says, greet everyone with a smiling face? I thought Shammai was like the tough guy. Hillel was the one who was always so friendly and so welcoming. I thought Shammai was a person who himself was so strict. Right? And yet Shammai says, no, but a person you have to greet people with a smiling face. And you start to wonder, you say, wow, you know, do I do that? Do I greet people with a smiling face the way I'm supposed to? Am I slow to judge? Have a misunam bedin? You start Pirkei Avos, have a misunam bedin? Am I slow to judge? I say, do I have a Rebbe? K'nei lecha chaver, do I know what friendship really is in the year 2017? And I started to look at Pirkei Avos and I said, wow, I need to do a lot of tshuva. I need to come back to what a Jew is supposed to be. And again, in the time of Midas HaDin, during the days of Sfiras HaOmer, that's a very appropriate feeling for a Jew to have. And last but not least, number four, the fourth and final reason, and it kind of goes back to what we started with this idea that we're entering into the days of summer. So what do people do during the summer? What do people do during the summer? And how does that inform us as to why we learn Pirkei Avos? So once upon a time, there was an ancient practice of bloodletting. It was assumed to be very healthy, that the body sometimes contracts various type of illness and disease, and it would be good to get some of that illness out of your body. And a good way to get disease out of your body is to get rid of your blood and let the body reproduce new, healthy, fresh blood. Very often, the time of year that was done was during the summer months. Which means that the summer is a time where people focus on their body. And it's true till this day, even though people don't necessarily engage in bloodletting like they once did. Right? But people are, you know, exercising more in the summer, and they're more concerned about how their physical appearance looks in the summer. Right? There's a focus on the body. So therefore, what do Klal Yisrael do as the world is preparing to head to the beaches and concerned that they should look good on the beach? They're worried about their bodies. So what does a Jew do in response to that? We say, you know what? The world is working on their bodies for the summer. We're going to work on our neshama for the summer. And the way we do that is through learning Pirkei Avos. The world wants to keep their bodies healthy. So we decide to keep our neshamas healthy. And the way to be a healthy Jew is learn Pirkei Avos. Is to learn, what does a healthy Jew look like? What are the healthy attitudes that a Jew should have? To work on one's neshama. We'll talk in a little bit why the Masechta is called Avos, but I'll just offer one explanation now. Why do we call it Pirkei Avos? It's an interesting name. Many, many explanations why it's called Avos. Rav Chaim Palaji, the great Sfaradi Chacham, Rav Chaim Palaji has a small little sefer called Pu'ulas Tzadik L'Chaim on Pirkei Avos. And in the Pu'ulas Tzadik L'Chaim, he quotes Zohar in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Rav Chaim HaKadosh brings this in Parshas Kisavo as well, on the words Va'anisa Va'amarta. And he says that the neshama is called Av. The neshama of a person is called Av. In the relation between the body and the soul, the neshama is, so to speak, the parent, the responsible one, and the body is the kid, is the irresponsible kid who says, you know, mom and dad, give me the keys to the car, and the mom and dad say, no, I'm not so fast. Right? There's av and there's ben or bas. There's neshama and there's guf. So therefore, Pirkei Avos is saying to us, what you're about to learn, as you open up Pirkei Avos, you're going to learn about the neshama. You're not going to learn so much about the guf in Pirkei Avos, but you're going to learn what does a Jewish neshama look like. And again, that's our response to the world that's going out looking to enhance their body, to engage in bodily pleasures during the summer. We say we're going to work on our avos, on our av, on our essence, which is our neshama. Rabbi Vaidi Bartanura starts off his commentary on Pirkei Avos. The Bartanura, in his classic commentary, again about 500 years ago, was written. Rabbi Vaidi Bartanura says, why does Pirkei Avos begin Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? Moshe got the Torah on our Sinai and he gave it to Yeshua, to the Zekanin, to the Nevi'im, to the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, and they said three things. Why don't I begin Shas that way? Why is that Pirkei Avos? If you want to tell me the history of the transmission of Torah, so start off all of Torah Sheval Peh. Start off all of Mishnayis, put that as an introduction to Maseches Brachos. Why does Pirkei Avos begin? Moshe got the Torah on Har Sinai, and he gave it to Yeshua, and Yeshua to the Zekanin. So Rav Vadim Bartanur says, because you might open up Pirkei Avos and you might say, you know, these are really nice ideas. This is like extra credit. This is like the person who eats extra healthy. Says Rav Vadim Bartanur, no such thing. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. You know what it said in Torah from Sinai? Yes, the individuals you will meet in Pirkei Avos were the greatest embodiment of those values. But these ideas are Hashem's Torah. This is Torah. We're learning Torah. We're not just, this is not Hammurabi's code. This is not some ancient law, some nice suggestions, right? This is not some secular book of ethics that are not based on a higher order. This is Torah Misinai. And therefore you open up Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Yes, Torah Misinai is have a donis kol adam b'kaf schus. Torah Misinai is greet people with a smiling face. Torah Misinai is that the world stands on Torah, avodah, and gemilas chasadim, and if you don't have that balance, the world could fall apart. That's all Torah Misinai. These are not suggestions of Hillel and Shammai. And Tignos Yish Socha. This is Mamish Torah Misinai. It's not extra credit. It's not extra healthy living. It's eating in a way of sustaining one's neshama. It's Pirkei Avos. It's health. It's medicine that a person desperately needs in order to maintain himself. And we have to take it seriously. One of the challenges of Pirkei Avos, I was debating what series we should start this time of the year. There's so many ideas that I want to learn in the coming weeks and months, and God willing, if Hashem will be kind enough to us, years. So many different topics, these mini-series that we've been doing. But I felt Pirkei Avos is something that we learn this time of the year. Many people have the practice. You sit down Shabbos afternoon, you read through a parak of Pirkei Avos. But to work on Pirkei Avos, to really work on Pirkei Avos, is not an easy thing. Because we're very familiar with Pirkei Avos. We probably saw it for the first time when we were little kids. You know, and we read these suggestions, these nice ideas, and they're all nice and they're sweet. But to really say, to pick something each week and say, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to live that for the week. The Maharal writes in his Derech Chaim, in his Akdamah to Pirkei Avos. He says, you know why we learn Pirkei Avos in the summer? I gave you four reasons so far, in the Medrash Shmuel. The Maharal says, you know why we learn Pirkei Avos in the summer? Because we have a lot of time in the summer. And therefore what? You know, in the winter, we're very rushed. It's a short Shabbos, there's a lot to get in, you know, between the Kugel and the Chulent and taking a Shabbos nap, there's not much time for learning. But in the summer, there's a lot of time. So you can learn Pirkei Avos benachas. And you know what's going to happen if you learn Pirkei Avos well? You're going to realize that these are some of the most difficult sugyos in Kol HaTorah Kula. You thought that Gemara and Bava Kama was difficult. Nah, that's a breeze. That's just like theoretical ideas. You don't actually have a shor or a chamor in your backyard, so you're never really going to encounter that. Okay, it's Torah Hashem, and of course we have applications. But come, says the Maharal, try to learn the most difficult sugyas and shas. You need a long Shabbos afternoon to wrap your head around that. Come try to really think about what it means to greet everyone with a smiling face. Like Shammai or Meir Goldwicht, Shlita. Yeah? To walk out with a smile glued on your face. Not so pasha. Okay, some people it comes more naturally, it's more easy, it's, you know, it comes more readily, it's easier. But these are difficult sugyas. That's how you have to look at Pirkei Avos. You don't just sit down Shabbos afternoon, and as people say, a very terrible expression, to daven it up. Right? It means to run through it. You have to sit and think about it. What is Hillel telling me? What is Shammai telling me? What is Shimon HaTzadik telling me? What are the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the greatest collection of sages that ever lived, telling me? It's not light reading. Yes, we were introduced to it when we were kids, but we have to come back to Pirkei Avos and understand that this is a Mamish Ruach HaKodesh, that Tzadikim were speaking to us, our Bali Ruach HaKodesh. The Yaivitz, the Chassid Yaivitz, not Rav Yaakov Emden, the Chassid Yaivitz, Rav Yosef Yaivitz from the expulsion in Spain in the 1400s. That's when he lived, he was expelled, he writes about it in one of his svarim called Or HaChaim. So the Chassid Yaivitz in his commentary on Pirkei Avos in the second parak says, you have to realize, Pirkei Avos, he writes, this is his Lashon, he says, HaChibur HaKadosh HaZeh Nasa Beruach HaKodesh. This is not Shammai and Hillel's suggestions. This is Ruach HaKodesh. This is Torah Misinai. This is real stuff. This is not light summer reading with a pina colada in a hammock in your backyard. This is the most difficult sugyas and shas for a person to try to wrap one's head around. And that's again a further reason why we have this minug to study Pirkei Avos this time of year. The minug really extends beyond the summer. We start in the summer. And like we explained, it's really part of the preparation for Shavuos. It's part of our response to the nations of the world that are focused on their body, that we focus on our soul. But it's a course that we're going to take multiple times in the coming months. We go through Pirkei Avos numerous times. We go through it between now and Shavuos. We go through it again leading up to the 3 weeks after Shavuos. Then during the 3 weeks we do it again. And then we do it again heading to Yom Noran. It's really many cycles of Pirkei Avos. I saw in a sefer called Zchus Avos the following explanation as to why that is. Why do we learn Pirkei Avos before Shavuos? Let's take it step by step. We read it before Shavuos, we read it after Shavuos, we read it during the 3 weeks, then we read it during Elul. What are we to make of these different tekufos, again, of reading Pirkei Avos? So he said, first and foremost, we read Pirkei Avos before Shavuos, because again, Pirkei Avos is giving us the midos of a Jew. We have to start on a low level. Where does it begin? A Jew doesn't begin with Avos Hashem. A Jew doesn't even begin with Yiras Hashem. A Jew begins with a low level Yiras Hashem called Yiras HaOnesh. In Pirkei Avos it says, anyone whose Yira precedes his wisdom will last. So in preparation for Shavuos, we have to have lower level Yira. That's what we get the first time we read Pirkei Avos. Leading up to Shavuos, we acquire Yiras HaOnesh, fear of punishment. To be able to take God seriously. You can't get the Torah if you don't take God seriously. Then we get the Torah. And now we're ready to take it to the next level. We do Pirkei Avos again. And now we're engaging in Yiras HaRoamimus. Now we're not afraid of God's punishments, But we stand in trepidation and awe before God because we've come to appreciate who Hashem is by way of the midos that we've incorporated into our lives. So we do it again. Then we come to the 3 weeks and we read Pirkei Avos again. Because especially in the period of the Churban Bayis Sheni, when Sinas Chinam caused Bayis Sheni, the Churban of Bayis Sheni, we need to think about, why am I still in Galus? Why are we not in a state of Geula? Why have we not returned to Eretz Yisrael? So we read Pirkei Avos again. And lastly, in preparation for the Yom Ha'Ra'im, like we said earlier, Pirkei Avos brings a person to thoughts of tshuva, and therefore what better way to prepare ourselves to stand before Hashem than to prepare ourselves by way of Pirkei Avos. Just tangentially, I'll share with you an interesting Kli Yakar in Parshas Acharimos. The Kli Yakar says on the pasuk, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, which is standing before God on Yom Noram, on Yom Kippur in particular, he quotes a Zohar. The Zohar says, and I remember the first time I heard this Zohar, I was at a L'chaim for one of my wife's good old friends, and there was a Zakin B'Yisrael there, someone who had learned in the Mir Yeshiva, and he says to me, I want to tell you a Zohar. I said, okay, great, I'd love to hear. He learned by the Talmud of the Brisker Rav, this Rav. Rav in Long Island, Rav Naiman was his name. Olav HaShalom. So he said, I want to tell you a Zohar. He said, young man, I want to tell you a Zohar. I said, please tell me. So he says, Mipnei Seva Takum. It says, Mipnei Seva Takum, which Pashup Shat, the Pasuk says, stand up for an elder. Okay, happens to be I was standing and he was sitting at the time, so that was fine, we had that covered. But he says, the Zohar has a different interpretation of Mipnei Seva Takum. It doesn't just mean that get up before a Seva, before an elderly person. It means Mipnei Seva, before you get old, Takum. Try to make something of your life. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed to start thinking about what my life is about. Mipnei Seva, before you grow old, Takum. Try to carry yourself in a dignified fashion. Lift yourself up. The Kli Yakar in Parshas Acharimos quotes this pasuk. Quotes this Zohar on the pasuk Lifnei Hashem Titaru. It says the same var. Lifnei Hashem Titaru could mean show up to Yom Kippur and now you're standing before God, or Lifnei Hashem, before you come to Hashem Titaru, prepare yourself. So that's what Pirkei Avos is. Pirkei Avos that we read in Elo, that last round of Pirkei Avos leading into the Yom Ha'Ra'im, taking us to stand before our Maker on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is that last bit of preparation, of purifying ourselves, to stand before Kadosh Baruch Hu. To focus, like we said, on our neshama, or our nefesh, and not our guf. And therefore the Zchus Avos brings an interesting simen to remember the cycles of Pirkei Avos. Again, there's the Pirkei Avos that we read leading up to Shavuos. That's one type of Pirkei Avos. But then we have three cycles after Shavuos. One starts Parshas Naso, immediately after Shavuos. We always read Naso after Shavuos. One starts during the 3 weeks, Parshas Pinchas. And one starts in Elul, Parshas Shoftim. The way to remember it is Rashi Tevos Nefesh. Naso, Pinchas, Shoftim. Those are the three beginnings of the cycle. And that's really the goal of Pirkei Avos, to become Bali Nefesh. To become people who, again, are focused on avos, the neshama, and to not get caught up in the world of the guf, which, again, is so tempting, especially this time of the year, as we enter into the months of summer. Let's talk about the title of this book, Pirkei Avos. This chibur that the Yaivet said was written with Ruach HaKodesh is called, we call it Pirkei Avos. Why do we call it Pirkei Avos? So again, we gave one explanation, avos, perhaps alludes to the neshama as opposed to the guf. But what else? The truth is, the title Pirkei Avos is very problematic. To refer to Shammai and Hillel, or Hillel and Shammai is Avos, to refer to Yochanan ben Zakkai, right, and to refer to these tzaddikim of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben who's the other one? Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi, who is it? Yossi ben Yoezer, who's he? One's Ish Yerushalayim, one's Ish. No? Okay, let's see. Good to review the name. It's also good to drill into our head. Shimon Tzadik, Atinos Yishocho, Yossi ben Yoezer, Yishreda, and Yossi ben Yochanan, Yish Yerushalayim. Yeah? So when we hear these tzaddikim, when they're talking to us, right, and we're calling them avos, you are the avos. You are the avos ha'olam. That's very problematic. Anyone know why? Why is that problematic? Because there's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Tes Zayin that says there's only three people we call avos: Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We don't throw around the term avos lightly. As I'm saying it, I'm reminding myself of a story I read in the biography of Rav Gustman. Art Scroll put out a biography of Yisrael Zev Gustman, the great Dayan from Vilna, and the great Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So Rav Gustman At one point, Rav Gussman was a Rosh Yeshiva in a Chabad Yeshiva. And Rav Gussman had been a dayan, the youngest dayan, Rav Chaim Ozer's based in Vilna. So someone thought it would be funny, now that this dayan from Vilna was becoming a Rosh Yeshiva and a Chabad Yeshiva, because there wasn't any other position available to him. He wasn't a chassid. But he took a position in a Chabad Yeshiva. So they thought it would be funny to write in the newspapers that the Vilna Gaon had become a Rosh Yeshiva and a Chabad Yeshiva. Hinting to the great machlokas between the Vilna Gaon and the Chassidim. After all, this Gaon, Rav Gussman was a Gaon, he was a genius in Torah, and he was from Vilna. So the Vilna Gaon had become the Rosh Yeshiva. The Vilna Gaon had become... So Rav Gussman got very upset at that. He said, you can't call... Vilna Gaon is a term that's reserved for only one Vilna Gaon. Rav Eliyahu of Vilna, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. No one else is called Vilna Gaon. So no one else is called Avos. There's only three who are called Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We don't call people Avos. So the title Pirkei Avos is very problematic. This is a question that the Chida raised. I saw in the Yesodei Yeshurin from Rav Felder in his parish in Pirkei Avos. And Rav Yosef Engel on the Beis HaOtzer, under his entry for Avos, also raised this question. How can we call it Pirkei Avos? But putting that question, that technical question aside for a moment, let's just try to explain why it's called Avos. Assuming we can come up with a heter, why we're allowed to use the term Avos, why are we calling it Avos? So I'll offer just a very simple and I think very deep and true explanation as to why Pirkei Avos is called Pirkei Avos. And this is something that I saw in this breslov of Pirkei Avos called Nachlas Avos, but it's an idea that's found in many places. I'll just share it with you from here. He says, really the Masechta should be called Maseches Midos. After all, much of what we've been talking about for the last 40 minutes is that this Masechta trains us in being Jews who are B'nai Midos Tovos. So he says, why is it not called Maseches Midos? There is another Masechta in Shas called Midos, about the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. But why is it called Avos? He says the answer is the following. Ela Liknos La'atzmo Midos Tovos Zei Efshar Al Yedei Tzivoy. You can't acquire Midos by someone telling you, do this or do that. A parent who says to a child, I want you to do X, Y, or Z, and the parent doesn't do the same thing, it's never going to work. Child picks up on that very, very quickly. Tasekach o tasekach, ki zeh tzarech lios, mushrosh mimei katnuso mibeis abba. The way to truly acquire something is to see it in your parents' home. Ki masherom abanam etzel aviyam, zeh heim yamshichu. What a child sees by a parent or a grandparent, by an older family member, is what shapes how the child's going to behave. And therefore, the Masechta is called Avos. Because the people who are teaching us are people who are what? Are the living embodiment of it. Shammai and Hillel would never tell us to do these things if Shammai and Hillel didn't do these things. And Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan would never tell us to do these things if they themselves didn't do these things. They were the living embodiment of these ideas, and therefore as our Avos, as our almost familial structure, our home for learning Midos, the Masechta is called Avos. Come learn from the people who, again, were the greatest embodiment of this. Let them be a parent to you. Because the way a parent acts is automatically going to rub off on the child. And that's why throughout Pirkei Avos we find the refrain, Hu Haya Omer. 16 times, I counted today, 16 times in Pirkei Avos we find, you can make your own count, tell me if I got it right, Hu Haya Omer. Hu Haya Omer, he used to say this, he used to say that. Bartanura says, obviously a person says many things in their life, but these were things that people would often say. So when Shammai would often tell people, greet others with a smiling face. Hu Haya Omer. This is something that it was Margala Bapume, he would often say. But I saw from the Rebbe Rayatz, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and many others bring this as well, a different pshat in Hu Haya Omer. Hu Haya Omer means, Hu Haya, he was it, and therefore Omer. And therefore he felt that he could say it. Don't tell someone to do something that you yourself are not prepared to do. Don't try to encourage someone to live a life that you yourself are not prepared to live. And these tzaddikim, these avos ha'olam, and again, with great trepidation we use that term, because it's a term that's really reserved for the three avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but we say, Hu Haya Omer. These people lived it, and therefore they can tell us to do it. They have every right to tell us it's humanly possible to achieve it. We did it, and you can do it too. And Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe says, that's also the pshat of what we just learned on Pesach. Chacha mahu omer, Rasha mahu omer, Tam mahu omer. The way to read it is Chacham mahu omer. The Chacham, what he is what he says. Right? What you are is what you're entitled to say in this world. Don't tell someone, don't try to impose upon someone else neither a friend or a family member or anyone else in the world, that they should act a certain way if you yourself are not the living embodiment of that. We encounter that one other way in Pirkei Avos, not only through the Hu Haya Omer, but we encounter it also at the beginning of the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, which again we said is not really part of Pirkei Avos, but is appended to Pirkei Avos. What do we learn in the sixth parak? How does the sixth parak, Parak Kinyan Torah as it's known, the parak of acquisition of Torah, how does it begin? Shanu Chachamim B'Lashon HaMishnah. The Chacham taught Bilshon HaMishnah, in the language of Mishnah. It's not actually Mishnayos, but it's similar to Mishnayos. Baruch Shabachar Behem Uva Mishnasam. Praiseworthy is the one who chooses them and their teachings. But again, the way that different Svarim explain, I saw it in several different places. Baruch, praiseworthy is the one who's Bachar Bahem Uva Mishnasam. What does it mean to choose them and their teachings? Choose as your role models the one who is the embodiment of his teaching. Bahemu Mishnasam, that they are their teachings. Choose them and their Torah because they were one with their Torah. A famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. In 1930, there was tremendous pressure by the government to bring secular studies into various yeshivas. And there was great opposition among some of the Gedolei Yisrael at the time. There were yeshivas that were meant to be yeshivas, to the exclusion of anything else. And the Chafetz Chaim in 1930 called an emergency meeting. And the Chafetz Chaim at that meeting kept saying over and over again that one has to be willing to give up his life to oppose the secular studies being brought into the yeshivas. And many great rabbis were there and they thought that was very extreme to speak in such an extreme way, to give up your life, to not learn a little secular studies. I understand the yeshiva is a holy place and maybe, you know, maybe it's not. Maybe yeshiva is, but Yarek Val Yavar, you have to give up your life? Where does it say that a person has to give up his life in order to fight for such a thing? So they were whispering in the room, you know, everyone was saying, what's the Chafetz Chaim's source? What's his source? Where does he know this from? The Chafetz Chaim heard that they were whispering, they were questioning his judgment, and the Chafetz Chaim very famously opened up his coat, he opened up his outer garment, and he pointed to his heart, and he said, Das steht das. It's written here. It's written right here. The heart of the Chafetz Chaim says that this is the halacha, this is the proper Jewish response, and period, that's the proper Jewish response. Because the Chafetz Chaim doesn't just say things. The Chafetz Chaim of all people doesn't just say things. The Chafetz Chaim understands that words matter. Hu haya omer. He was it and he said it. Bachar bahem uva mishnasam. Chacham mahu omer. The Chacham what he is, he has the right to say. We're going to daven ma'ariv in about 2 minutes. I want to just end with two very quick Pesach thoughts. Because we're holding in the days after Pesach and it's hard. My brother said to me the other day, it's so difficult the days after Pesach. There's like such a yerida after the, you know, the special days of Pesach. It's like a dark time, you know. It's a long stretch until Lag BaOmer, and they're in a period of Avelis now. For Sfira, it's not Pashut. It's a difficult feeling. So I saw a story that Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz was one of the Ziknei Rosh Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Bnei Brak for 70 years in different yeshivas in Bnei Brak. He passed away in 2011. Rav Michal Yehuda used to sell his chametz in Bnei Brak by the Beis Din of Rav Shmuel Vosner. Also one of the great Gedolim, passed away a couple years ago in 2015. The Shevet HaLevi. So he said that one year he was selling the chametz, and Rav Michal Yehuda said to Rav Vosner, he said, we should be zocha this year to have Hashras HaShchina by the Seder. So Rav Vosner said back to Rav Michal Yehuda with a big smile, he said, the Shechina is going to be by the Seder. I'm not worried about the Shechina showing up for the Seder. The Zohar says that the Shechina is certainly going to be by the Seder. But we should daven, you know what a better tefillah is, you know what a better brach is? We should daven that we should hold on to the Shechina after the Seder. That in the days of Sfiras HaOmer, that after the elevated madrigos that we attained on Pesach, we should be able to hold on to everything that we acquired at the Seder. We want to hold on to the Yom Tov so badly. It's so hard after Pesach. It was such oros, such hashpos of the Seder. So many mitzvos by the Seder. It's so hard to hold on to it. And we want to hold on to the Yom Tov. We try to hold on to every Yom Tov with the exception of Rav Hudner writes in the Pachah Yitzchak and Purim in the back in the Yiddish section. He says we hung on to every Yom Tov with the exception of Purim. Purim, you can't hold on to Purim. You can't hold on to Purim all year round. But he says, Rav Hudner says, what would be so bad if after Pesach we took a Bissel Cheiris with us? Not bad. Zman Cheiris Seinu. Take it with you. Take it with you. Zman Cheiris Seinu. Not a bad thing to take with you. But sometimes we feel like we haven't held on. So we come after Pesach, we're trying to figure out what can we do? What can we do to hold on? So I thought of a vart by the Ne'ilas HaChag on the last day of Yom Tov. I just want to share with you maybe a word of Chizuk. And I know it's not Isru Chag anymore, so maybe you'll say my vart expired, but I think it's still relevant. If you open up Hilchos Pesach to the very first halacha, Siman Tav Chaf Tes, you'll see one of the first halachas in Hilchos Pesach is that on the day after Pesach, it's Isru Chag, and you should have a little something extra to eat and drink. Why is that one of the first halachos in Pesach? Isru Chag is when the Pesach's over. It should be the last halacha in Hilchos Pesach. Why in Siman Tav Chaf Tes do you have the halachas of Isru Chag? This is a question that was raised by the great posik of Ephraim Greenblatt in the Rivos Ephraim in the third Chelek. And he says in the name of Rav Ephraim Baruch Sorotskin, he says, you know why? Because if you're not thinking about the day after Pesach, before Pesach starts, you're not going to be able to take advantage of Pesach. You need to realize, before Pesach starts, that Pesach is going to be over. At some point, it's going to be over. You think, okay, I have another Hallel, another Hallel, another Hallel, another Kazayas of Matzah, another Kazayas of Matzah. I've got time. You say to yourself, before Pesach starts, there's going to be an Isru Chag, which means the Yom Tov is going to end. And when you think about that, if you're aware that it's not going to last forever, then maybe you'll try to really hold on to something. That's the var from Rafal Baruch Sorotskin, quoted by the Ruvos Ephraim in his Shalos and Chuvos. But I thought of a var by the Nilas Lachag. A different var. Maybe it's better for us. You come to the end of Pesach. Pesach's over. You know, the sun has set, and it's it. Matzah went from being, you know, $30 a pound to being 30 cents a pound. Right? Lost all of its value in a couple of seconds. Okay, Yom Tov is over. So you start thinking to yourself, you know what? I didn't get enough out of the Yom Tov. I really should have gotten more out of the Yom Tov. So you say, you know what? I'm going to start preparing right now for next Pesach. So that next year I can be ready. And you open up the beginning of Hilchos Pesach. And what do you see? You see one of the first halachos, Isru Chag. And you say to yourself, wait a minute, the Yom Tov is over, but there's a concept of Isru Chag. That means even when the Yom Tov is over, I can still take something with me from the Yom Tov. I can still hold on to the Yom Tov. And I'm machazing myself after the Yom Tov that, you know what? I can try to hold on to something. What's the connection to Pirkei Avos? If you look in the Bar Tanura, as hopefully you will this Shabbos, when you're learning the first parak of Pirkei Avos, it's good to learn with the commentary of the Bar Tanura. He says in the fourth Mishnah and in the seventh Mishnah, that a person who makes his home a meeting place for the sages, even if you don't learn anything from their conversations, but just the fact that they were in your house, it's like a person who walked into a perfume store. You come out smelling different. He says, the Mishnah says, distance yourself from a bad neighbor. Because even if you don't interact much with that neighbor, it's like walking into a tannery with its very foul smell. When you walk out, it's going to leave a trace. The same thing is true for the Yom Tov of Pesach. Yes, there's so much more that we could have gotten out of Yom Tov. There's always that feeling after Yom Tov. But we have to realize that the days of Sfiras Omer is really a review of everything we got during Pesach. A chance to really lock it in, all of the things that we got from Pesach. Open up Hilchos Pesach to the first halacha again and say, there's Isru Chag. I can try to hold on to something, even when it's over. I don't have to let it all dissipate and slip out of my hands. And last but not least, and I'll end with this, Aseh Lecha Rav. Aseh Lecha Rav. It appears twice. If there's one mission we have to talk about just for a minute, it's the mission of Aseh Lecha Rav. It appears two times in one parak. The first time it appears, Aseh Lecha Rav means make sure you have someone to teach you Torah. The second Aseh Lecha Rav, in Mishnah Tev Zayin, the Bar Tanura explains, Aseh Lecha Rav, have a Rebbe to ask questions to. Psak Halacha. And I want to just end on a comment that I saw in the writings of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the Halichos Shlomo. You know, Sfiras HaOmer, people have all sorts of shilas. One of my students texted me this week, the following, this is the Lashon. Is going to a movie in a movie theater during this part of Sfira Aser? That was his question. So I wrote back, and you might think I'm a little fanatical. I said, who says that going to a movie in a movie theater is ever permitted? And who says that going to a movie in a movie theater is ever Aser? Who says one way or the other? He says, well, it's a movie about the Holocaust. I said, so who says it's Aser? Now some people will say, you can't go, a movie theater is a terrible place, you can never step into a movie theater. And some people will say, what do you mean, a movie theater, it's like anything else in the world, it depends what you're there for, what you're getting out of it, and how appropriate it is. So people ask a lot of questions during Sfiras HaOmer. Am I allowed to buy new clothing? Am I allowed to say Shachianu? Am I allowed to listen to recorded music? People have a lot of shilas. So I saw Shlomo Zalman Auerbach lamented the fact that there's certain times of the year where things are really based on minhagim, and like we're very into asking shilas. But when it comes to normative halacha, sometimes we assume we know everything. How many Hilchos Ribbis shilas do we ask in our business practices? Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach said, how many Hilchos Kibbut Av V'Em shilas do we ask? Right? Are we asking the right shilas? Aseh Lecha Rav. A person has to ask shilas. And I would think that coming off of the Yom Tov of questions, which is the Yom Tov of Pesach, a Jew hopefully has been ma'orer a few questions of how he wants to work on himself or how she wants to work on herself. And it's a time to asel charav, to continue to ask questions, to question ourselves, to question our rebbeim, to turn to the avos ha'olam to give us the guidance that we need in order to prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. So Birtas Hashem, again, this is really just a little bit of a hakdama, but I hope in the next couple of weeks leading up to Shuas, we'll be able to study a little bit from each parak each week, and Birtas Hashem will be able to come to the Yom Tov of Shuas as the B'nai Adam who are worthy of being Makabal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah.